entrepreneurial poverty wasn't really a topic that I was aware of when I started my business, and it certainly wasn't a pair of words I expected to hear uttered side by side. Don't you go into business? Don't you become an entrepreneur to make money? Well, it turns out those people who do have that intention, but something happens at a crucial point, the 3 to 4 year mark, and about half of businesses just don't survive beyond then. I'm particularly interested in this because, well, that's where my business is at right now. So to talk more about that, I'm going to introduce you to a guy who's well known to more than 1 million people around the world who've read his business-saving books, including one little gem called Profit First, which started as a gem of an idea in one book and then was so popular it had to be expanded out into a whole book of its own. Now this particular person has a swag of business-saving books under his belt. He's got 4 multi-million dollar companies under his belt. And as well as that, the man behind Start With Why, Simon Sinek, once described him as the patron saint of entrepreneurs. Those are the highlights. Let's get to know some of the lowlights of the story behind Profit First's Mike Michalowicz. In today's media landscape, options abound. From traditional platforms like TV and radio to the digital realm, social media, online publications, and podcasts, just like this one. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to the rapid changes in the modern media space. Whether you're a personal brand or corporate entity, staying relevant is key. Join me, a seasoned TV and radio presenter, content creator, and modern media trainer as we navigate this dynamic terrain together. Let's do this. So, Mike, I just shared in my intro that I'm particularly interested in this 3 to 4 year mark for businesses. And I'm also particularly interested in entrepreneurial poverty, as you describe it.
Yeah.
What exactly is entrepreneurial poverty?
Well, the majority of entrepreneurs in the globe are surviving check by check. And that's what I call entrepreneurial poverty. And the funny thing is, we put on this air of success that we have all the income in the world and we're making it, we're faking it till we're making it. Mm. And the reality is most of these entrepreneurs are barely getting by. They're stressed. They're working overtime. They're working exhaustively. They're maybe paying the bills, but they're not paying themselves. And that's what entrepreneurial poverty is. And I'm on a mission to fix that.
Now, in your book, I think it was The Pumpkin Patch.
The Pumpkin Plan.
Thank you. Yeah, Pumpkin Plan.
You're not the first to do that.
You had a little idea called Profit First, as I understand it. You share this story in Profit First, which you expertly audio book deliver, by the way. I love hearing your voice on that.
Thank you.
So you kind of just uttered the idea of what Profit First was, and then it grew into something bigger. Is that how it all went on?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was one line I put in the book, and it simply said, if you take your profit first, you will assure profitability. And I started getting calls and emails from people saying, tell me more about this. I used to write for the Wall Street Journal at the time. So I wrote an article about it, maybe 600 words, a short article.
Yeah.
And then thousands of people started emailing and calling me saying, how do I do this? And then it was very clear I had to write a book about it.
Yeah. And you did. Tell me, what are the readership numbers on Profit First these days?
We're well over 1 million readers. I think we've sold 1.2 million books. It's in 27 languages. It's beyond what I ever imagined. It's wonderful.
And you're here in Perth, my home city right now. Yay. Sure. Perth, Australia. You've got Vegemite, all those things that are...
I know. I want to show my gifts. It was funny. After this conference ended, I got this kind gift and they said, if you get anything you want in Australia, what would it be? I'm like, I want some Vegemite. I like Vegemite. They got me every variant possible, including Christmas ornaments with Vegemite, a stocking, and then every flavor imaginable, with cheese, without cheese. You know.
The biscuits, all the things Vegemite in their 100th year in Australia are celebrating. It's very cool. So yeah, you had to make a book about it. You've grown the movement of Profit First. There are Profit First accountants. There are Profit First organizations in other countries. Is that what we have in Australia?
Yeah. So I originally started in the United States and we were growing and we had inquiries coming in from Australia. And we had some people join our organization. But the American approach is different than the Australian approach. We speak a common language. We have different approaches. So we couldn't grow here until we met Laura Elkeslassie. Laura was an original member. She said, I can expand this for us because I understand how it works here. And I don't know if you saw the conference we had going on there, but there's 50 people in there that are now representing Profit First, teaching his businesses to deploy it. And that's nothing like we had before.
Well, that's very exciting. But let's get into that, the heart of the story.
Sure.
You're an entrepreneur yourself. You've had multiple businesses, but entrepreneurship isn't always
highlights, and we're not always living the high life, like you quite rightly point out. Has it always been good times role for Mike Michalowicz?
No, it hasn't always been high times. Here's the irony. When I started off as an entrepreneur, I had some early successes. I did become a self-made millionaire in my early 30s, and I thought I had it all going on. The next business I created was a calamity. I had no idea what I was doing, and I was wasting money left and right. Yeah. It brought me to my rock bottom moment where we were broke. We lost our house because of me. We lost our possessions. And I had to face my family and say, we're done, because I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. And my daughter in that moment felt compelled, she was 9 years old, to save me by grabbing her piggy bank and saying, Daddy, here's my savings. This can get us by. And that moment awoke in me that I don't really understand entrepreneurship. I thought I did. I was just lucky and it was good timing. Now I had to get back to the fundamentals that make success. And I'll tell you the true secret is the stuff I write about is actually the stuff I need to learn and master myself. I didn't know profitability, and that's why I had to master it by writing about it.
And often as content creators, us being our own, I guess, guinea pig, if you like, is a great way to generate content. What came first? The concepts that you use to help entrepreneurs in your entrepreneurial journey, or your work in the media, like your Wall Street Journal job there?
Oh, the first was helping entrepreneurs. Wall Street Journal would even talk to me because they wanted some credibility. So I was just going to local colleges. I was meeting with any entrepreneur I could meet with and saying, here's what I've learned. Tell me if it helps you. And then when I started seeing stuff that worked, I was able to get bigger opportunities. The Wall Street Journal then approached me because I got on a television show. I got on a television show and they saw me. They said, wow, that was pretty interesting. Do you write about this? And I said, I'd like to. And they said, well, we'll give you one article. Try it out. And it was a hit. And I wrote for them for about a year and a half.
Yeah, sure sign that you're doing a good job in the media is if you get asked back, right? So they like what you do.
Little test. This is the biggest tip I can give you if you're watching right now, is that you have to demonstrate your skill in a short amount of time. So I did some television appearances. The first television appearance I did was 15 seconds. And it was just quick on. They said, what's the one tip you have? And I said it, and they took me off. I didn't realize they wanted to see if I was good for the camera, if I could speak to camera and so forth. And then, and speaking short sound bites, they gave me a 5-minute spot. Then it became, I was on full 30-minute segments on TV shows.
What was the 15-second tip?
15-second tip is, don't hire people on experience. Hire people on their attitude and intelligence, because those are the intangibles. You can train them experience. That was probably under 15 seconds. That's all I had to say. And I'm like, perfect. Off.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, we do talk on this podcast about being what I like to call a modern media performer. And if I was talking to my clients, I'd say, look up Mike Michalowicz. He's a great example. You speak on stages. So that's one revenue stream for your business. Obviously, there's authorship. There are media appearances. What inspires you to create content?
Well, because it's of service to people. You know, I believe that if you and you do have something to share, and if I and I do have something to share is of value to others, we have a responsibility to get it out there. I don't think I should be braggadocious about it or say I know something better than you. I just know something different, perhaps, and we can have an exchange. And I find that media like this is the best way, because right now someone's watching in their bed, in their underwear, and they're watching this interview, but they're learning something. It's a very intimate experience that they get exposure to what we can share. So we have a responsibility, if we do have something of value, to put it out there so people can consume it however they want to.
And I love that word that you use then, braggadocious or something like that. Very cool, like that. Because we often experience this feeling of, oh, what will people think of me? Will they think I'm big noting myself? In Australia, we like to call it, will I be knocked down like a tall poppy? There's a thing called tall poppy syndrome. Yeah. Did you wrestle with any of this fear of what people would think of you when you started putting your opinions out there?
I didn't, because I led off with that story. I was afraid to do it, but I started talking about how my daughter felt compelled to save me. And once people know that you are human and I'm human and that we are all the same here, then we are willing to listen to each other. But I have seen, and I'm very cautious about doing this myself, people come out and say, I'm great. I know these amazing things. Do what I do because I'm great. And that's not the approach. I've struggled. I've had some successes that maybe someone else can replicate. And you're great. And I want to get your successes too. So you try to make it as much as an exchange as possible.
That story is pivotal, isn't it?
Pivotal. It's everything. Because it's relation. It's funny. I was in there teaching how to tell stories. And most people say, I want to do these wonderful things and I'm great at it and I can serve you. They just climb up. But the better story is, I want to do great things, but I've struggled doing it. You go into that dip and you explain, here's what I've learned on my journey forward. Please join me in coming out of this challenge that you're facing.
Now, Profit First was a few books ago for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what's really mulling around in your mind the most right now for entrepreneurs? What do we need to be focusing on?
Well, I think it's efficiency. So there's two forms of poverty that are pretty big. One is financial poverty. Everyone knows that. But the other one's time poverty. And I think that's a bigger problem. So I wrote a book about how to work more efficiently, how to put less demand on yourself, but also less demand on your team. Because some people say, well, I'm going to work less by assigning more work to others. Okay, you got the weight off your shoulders, but now you place on someone else. How do we all get more results with less effort so we can be more present with each other?
That's kind of the holy grail post-pandemic, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is the holy grail. It's unfortunate. Post-pandemic, I see people working even more now because now, hey, I can work from anywhere. I can work from home because I'm so used to it. And people are doing that. And that's not the right approach, I don't think.
You can do a podcast in the 20 minutes after a pack down at a conference.
Right. You can keep going and going. Yeah, it's true.
You've been talking all day and it's very generous of you to speak some more with us. Thank you, Mark.
It's been a joy. It's nice meeting you.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to turn our attention now to part of the story that brought Profit First from Mike Sprain through Bali and into Australia. Amber Duggar of Profit for Keeps is behind some of that story. How do you fit in, Amber?
Well, you know, I came across Profit First when I was in Bali, like you mentioned, and there was just such a plethora of individuals who were struggling with cash flow. And I honestly thought I was never going to touch it again with a 10-foot pole because I was freshly leaving my career in corporate finance. But I saw this really big gap between what people really wanted to do in their life and then not the cash flow and the right revenue goal to make that happen. And so that's how I came across Profit First.
Okay. And what is it about Profit First that really works, do you think, for those lifestyle entrepreneurs that us Perth people really easily understand are hanging out up in Bali? I would like to be one of them just quietly.
I think it's really about giving yourself permission to give yourself, you know, this beautiful bonus once a quarter, and to also give yourself permission to pay yourself what is going to pay for the things you really care about, like the weekly massage, or maybe going and exploring the island if you're in Bali, or being able to, you know, still pay for the things at home while you're still remotely traveling around the world.
Yeah, and like Mike was just talking about, right now, one of the biggest problems faced by entrepreneurs is that we don't have a lot of time. So if you've got no time, how are you going to do those awesome experiences that you want to inject into your life? So cash flow is key.
It's incredibly key. I mean, without cash flow, we're going to be sitting around not being able to do much. And the thing is, we can make money, but when we don't feel like anything's in our bank account, it can be really deflating. And it's usually not the person. It's most likely the fact that the revenue goal doesn't align with the actual needs of the individual.
Okay. I'm always interested in media stories, content creation. What's been your own journey with growing your brand online or as a speaker on stage in the screen? What kind of content do you like to put out into the world?
It's really all about marrying wealth consciousness with practical tools and action. And podcasts are honestly the best way to grow a business. I've done probably 250 interviews. I just love them. And what's really beautiful about it is it really allows someone to get to know you and in a way that works for them, whether it's doing the dishes or walking the dog or maybe taking their kids to school. And so that's one of my favorite ways.
Amber Duggar, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. So it's kind of been like a baton passing, right? From Mark in the US down to Amber in Bali to Laura here, who in Australia set up a network of Profit First professionals. What does Profit First mean to you?
Well, it's actually the mission and vision that's way more important to me than the words Profit First. Yeah. And it really is about the impact, small business, and really profit being the purpose and the blood of business. So that's what it's all about. I'm out there to make small business profitable.
Because of entrepreneurial poverty, right? A concept that I really had no idea about until, let's face it, I started to experience it in my third, fourth year of being a media and training consultant to business. And I was just living up the old time is the new rich, getting lots of great experiences into my life. So I feel like that was a win. But there came a stage where the profit dried up and my business was running at a loss. Absolutely. Am I alone?
You are not alone. And in fact, up to 90% of business owners experience this at some point. Even if you start profitable and then, you know, something happens and we take our eye off the ball because we're really following a paradigm that doesn't make sense, which is the general accounting principles where there's a profit at the end of a long report and not in our bank account. And so with Profit First, it really allows us to know exactly what's happening at every single second we check the bank account.
And what's one easy to implement principle of Profit First that we could have a go at and see if it gives us a quick win?
That is a great question. So I'm actually going to give you two.
Oh, and that's okay. They're quick. Double the value.
So the first thing is 1% profit into a bank account, because you can absolutely run your business with 1% aside. But the behavior and psychology of prioritizing that profit and seeing that it can grow changes the world, and it helps people become permanently profitable. And the second one is to actually really dream. What do you want your business to do? How do you want your business to serve you, not you it? And the way that you do that is look at, what is it that you're wanting to pay yourself? How much are you willing to spend in time and effort to bring in the revenue? And then using the percentages to reverse engineer it gives you that blueprint, so that you're not just spending your time spinning your wheels. You're actually making really good decisions.
And linking that to purpose is so meaningful. And that brings me to my client, Najma Khan, who introduced me to the idea of Profit First. First time at all. During our first discovery call, Najma said to me, I'm a Profit First bookkeeper and accountant. And I was like, oh, should I know what that is? And she goes, well, it's Mike McCallowitz's idea. I'm like, should I know who he is? It basically went like that. Then I was on for Profit First and I saw it everywhere I went and started to catch on. But I love Najma's vision, which is to build wells. She donates her profits to help build wells and access water for people who can't otherwise. So I guess having that sort of guiding light in front of you makes getting out of bed every day a lot easier.
Absolute huge difference. And I know a number of business owners, the giving back and the impact is so important. So like within my businesses, we give back to domestic violence. It's also, you know, my clients who can give scholarships to people that otherwise wouldn't be able to utilize their services. There's so many different ways that you can utilize your profit for yourself, but also for the community and the world.
Well, it sounds like a good thing. Thanks for taking some time at the end of the conference to tell me about it.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me here.
How did you enjoy that chat? I had a few takeaways that I thought it's worth recapping. Making content, as Mike says, that positions you as the industry leader is about being of service. How often have we heard that come up during this series? It's so important. And creating content, however people want to consume it, Mike and Amber both mentioned this, so we can benefit, so that your audience member can benefit from what you know on their terms while they're doing the washing, making their dinner. However they want to hear it is how they will choose to access what you know. And also that it's duty-bound. Make content in a way that is not sermonizing. It's a two-way conversation. So don't forget, be honest about those struggles that come first or along the way, just the way Mike did with his incredible storytelling. He's pretty impressive, right? And how about that other angle to this particular interview around entrepreneurial poverty? If you're out there working on your own and you've experienced a loss at any stage in your journey, you're not alone. Up to 90% of businesses end up the same way. And if you need a way to get yourself through those times when it just feels hard to prioritize profit, try connecting it back to that more altruistic purpose, something like a charitable cause that you would have the power to support if you could just maintain and expand that profitability. I learned from talking to Mike, Amber, and Laura at their training day in Perth that more than 800,000 businesses globally have implemented Profit First. So it could be worth taking a look for your business too. I'll leave a link to read more about Profit First in the show notes. Now, let's continue the theme with our next guest on Modern Media.
Business is hard. Some days you just want to curl in a ball and just cry. And then other days, this is the best thing since sliced bread.
That's the super impressive Lily North out of the Northern Territory here in Australia. We'll see you next time on Modern Media. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to navigating the ever-changing world of media. Dive deeper into today's topics, you can check out the show notes. Or for more details about modern media training, head to carmenbraidwood.com.au. Until next time, keep on shining in the modern media landscape.